The plane just fell out of the sky in California. 5 dead. The mom grieves. 3 sons die tragically. 1 dead, 25 others undergoing treatment for rabies. Quick, dial 911. Do you see that right there on my Big Mac? Onions.
What?
Admit it. We're just a fat nation. Young people, really in trouble. Gonna take some extra time today to talk about what in the world is going on. I don't know. Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. News, information, comment. Oh, we've got it all today. Call a friend, tell them we're on the air. Have a good weekend. Let's talk about life right after this. Coming down the wire, gearing up to head to Tri-Cities, Tennessee, and be with the good folks at WHCB, that Christian voice there in Bristol, Kingsport, and Johnson City. 3 days. Oh, it's the Spring Share-a-thon. Yeah, does it get any better than this? I just love these things. I really do. The last of February there on a Wednesday and Thursday, and then into March, we're going to be there as well. And I was so excited to hear from the good folks at the Free Will, First Free Will Baptist Church of Elizabethton, Tennessee. We're having a meeting there on March the 3rd on Sunday morning, but they said, hey, let's invite the neighbors and get together and talk about the world as it relates to the Bible on Saturday night. So will you join me? March the 2nd, Saturday night. That's the First Free Will Baptist Church, Elizabethton, Tennessee. I am so excited. Some folks in Virginia, other areas saying, we're going to make the trip and be there. I think it starts at 7 o'clock. That's Saturday night. I'll let you know for sure. But yeah, it really got me excited. Opportunity to meet some of you in person. You say you want to do that? Come early. Stay late. Well, not too late. March the 2nd, Saturday night, First Free Will Baptist Church in Elizabethton, Tennessee. I'm really looking forward to this. They say it felt like a bomb. A small plane slammed into a two-story home in Yorba Linda on Sunday, killing 5 people, including the pilot, and creating a chaotic scene as neighbors ran out to discover the home on fire and pieces of the aircraft strewn over 4 blocks. Awful. They're in California. 5 dead. Their shooting in October set off a chain reaction that left 2 of Earlene Caldwell's sons dead. The Dallas mother is now grieving again. Her son, Marco Cluis, 40 years old, shot to death in October at his home in South Dallas. His brother, Bernice Earl Cluis, 51, who lived on the same street, chased after his brother's killers before he died in a crash. Car crash just a mile away. Last week, the family buried Matthew Cluis, who had suffered seizures since he was shot in the head at age 14 and never recovered from his most recent seizures at age 43. What grief, losing 3 kids tragically. We can certainly identify with their comment. This is the worst day of my life. A U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agent died over the weekend working in Texas. Agent Donna Doss, 49 years old, was helping state police near Interstate 20 in Abilene just before 9 p.m., according to the agency. While she assisted, Doss was struck and killed by a passing vehicle. How many times do we hear this story? The agency said that Doss died while performing her duty, protecting the community and the United States of America. Our heart, prayers, and support go out to this agent's family at this time of great need. Before Gary Giles died of rabies, 25 of his family members went to visit him in the hospital. That decision may have cost his loved ones $50,000 in what were potentially life-saving treatments. Gary Giles, 55 years of age, was the first man to die of rabies in Utah since 1944. He died in November. He was from Morona, Utah, was a dad of 4, and would catch and release bats that flew into his home. The bats never hurt us, and we were always catching them in our hands and releasing them outside. Before you hear all the time about how bats are good for insects, etc., you don't want to hurt them, his wife said. The bats were cute, would lick our fingers almost like they could taste the saltiness there. They never bit us. But it was a bat that likely gave Gary Giles rabies, according to the Utah Health State Department. And his family didn't know that he had rabies while visiting him in the hospital. They stayed with him for 5 days as doctors ran tests. Everything came back normal. This was incredibly aggravating to the doctors and our family, and over the course of his time in the hospital, 25 family members paid a visit. They now are being treated for rabies. Isn't that something? I had to undergo those shots as a teenager. I think, what, 8 or 9 shots in the stomach every other day? Oh, it was something else. Rabies. Utah bats. Oh, no, this is just stupid. There's so many stories out there like that. We don't hear about most of them. A McDonald's customer was arrested. Arrested after calling police to complain about his Big Mac hamburger. It had onions on it. And challenging the restaurant's manager to a fight. Leslie McDonough, 53 years old, visiting the fast food chain in Manchester, England, last Friday when he claims he received the wrong meal that he could not eat because of a severe allergy to onions. Yeah? The man who had been drinking prior to visiting McDonald's threatened to fight the manager before calling police to report this mixed-up meal. The incident began to escalate when police arrived and asked the man to leave the restaurant. He reportedly fell to the floor, grabbed a police officer's leg as they attempted to stand him up. McDonough also spit in the officer's face. Oh, that's a no-no. Call 911 because you had onions on your Big Mac. Moron. Rapper 21 Savage. These names just kill me. He was arrested early Sunday morning in Metro Atlanta by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers, which said he's from the United Kingdom, overstayed his visa. The rapper, whose real name is Shah Yap Bin Abraham Joseph, was taken into custody in a targeted operation. 26-year-old has a felony conviction, adding that deportation proceedings against the rapper will begin in federal immigration court today. I want my money back. I'm sorry, that is totally impossible. Talking $190 million here. Canadian crypto exchange called Quadrigo CX says it cannot repay most of the $190 million in client holdings after its 30-year-old founder, Gerald Cotton, the only person who knew the passwords to its cold storage, unexpectedly died in India. In a sworn affidavit with the Nova Scotia Supreme Court, widower Jennifer Robinson said that the company owes its customers some $190 million in both cryptocurrency and fiat money. They filed for creditor protection because it says it cannot access the funds that are in cold storage, just the comparatively smaller amounts in a hot wallet. I have no idea what that means. All I do understand is somebody is out $190 million and the secret code to get it died with the CEO. That is unbelievable. An American anarchist who went by the name of John Galton was shot dead at his home in the Mexican resort of Acapulco, sending shivers through a tight-knit anti-establishment community of expatriates that organizes events in the violence-torn retreat with seminars on topics as, well, how to make money via cryptocurrencies. Ooh, we just talk about that. A woman describing herself as John's partner, Lily, said via social media that she saw the gunman go straight for John and his friend Jason Henza. Henza made it to a private hospital with bullet wounds in the armpit, leg, and hand. The hospital said he checked out the same day. Mexican police found equipment to process drugs, glass pipes, and marijuana plants in that home. Lily and Henza both posted videos on Facebook immediately after the shooting. Lily screamed, "I really need help. Somebody please come and help." In his post, a bearded Henza said in a blood-smattered T-shirt, "We were attacked. I've been shot 3 times. I'm not doing so good." Prior to the shooting, these two hosted weekly meetups, M-E-A-T, meetups at a local restaurant where self-professed carnivores dined only exclusively on meat. Not sure what all of this means. American anarchist John Galton, dead in Acapulco. And let's do this just before the break. Something good for you to start out your Monday with. Why don't you start today to set some goals and work on achieving those goals? This is going to elevate and secure your Christian walk. Christian Walk 101. It'll also bring happiness into your life. Probably the most important thing you will ever do, my friend. and follow the Big Five: Bible, prayer, serving God, fellowship, and being in a local church. Yeah, great tip. Get our Monday started. More news right after this. What might cause you to fall to your knees in prayer today? Hey, if you received a call that someone that you loved was stricken with a serious illness, you wouldn't whisper some quick, "Bless her, Lord, take care of her," and move on with your day, would you? No, you wouldn't. You would fall to your knees, heart heavy in your chest, pleading with God to restore that one. You know, we should respond similarly when our country's health is compromised. We should pray fervently for our land and our leaders, as we would for some dangerously ill friend. King Solomon was warned of the peril of his nation if the people ceased honoring the Lord, and God explained what Israel was to do in such a state of turmoil. The people were to humbly admit their need for the Lord's intervention. They were expected to cry out to him from hearts burdened for the country's situation. And those seeking a renewal of God's blessing upon Israel were to undergo a time of personal confession and repentance. I think that's in order today. Our country is in trouble. Let's do it. Read 2 Chronicles 7, 11 through 21 if you get a chance today. Yep, Christians who want God to hear their prayers, forgive national sins, and heal their homeland are wise to follow the steps laid out by Solomon. I don't know. You think they're the greatest? The New England Patriots defeated the LA Rams 13-3 to become the champions of Super Bowl 53. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady secured the sixth championship ring. Really unbelievable. The sixth of his career, giving Boston its second Major League Championship in less than 6 months. Meanwhile, Rams coach Sean McVay took responsibility for the Super Bowl loss, saying it was mostly a result of me doing, oh, this is not good, a poor job of calling plays and not giving us a chance to win. Oh, I wouldn't say it. The 33-year-old, who is the youngest head coach to ever make the Super Bowl, described his post-game feeling as just being numb. I don't know how I'll ever get over this. It's only a game, Sean. Trust me, you'll get over it. Life goes on, and there are more important things than football. Personally, thought it was extremely boring, and here's what I think is the big highlight of the whole thing. The Super Bowl national anthem, sung by 74-year-old Gladys Knight. She stunned the crowd with a soulful rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. It was picture and sound perfect. Really was. Oh, incredible. Then that boring game came on there. Super Bowl football, 100 years from now, what will it mean? See what I mean? Health news are saying rates of obesity-fueled cancers are now rising in successfully younger age groups. According to a landmark study just out, experts said shocking levels of the disease linked to growing waistlines across the globe threaten to reverse decades of progress in the war on cancer. The Lancet study shows that rates of obesity-related cancers are rising faster in the age group of 25 to 49 than older generations. Take a minor break here, and then I want to talk to you about the world today. Are you confused? My friend, join us on Facebook. I love to hear from you. Many more are from Tennessee, Virginia, Kentucky, and other areas. Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Please join us today. And if you want to hear past programs, go to gregpatton.com, and you can listen from last week to last month to last year. Sure you can. Thanks so much. And now this. I think I got it. Been thinking about this a lot. Why do elderly Americans support Donald Trump, huh? Because they grew up in a free America, and they would like to see that same thing happen for their grandkids. This is a crazy, mixed-up world. I do not understand what's happening in the United States of America. I know I'm playing and beating on that same drum that I have done now for months and months and months, and I'm not going to let up. It's unbelievable what's happening to this country. It really is. Do not understand it. And I've always felt kind of good about being on target in so many areas and up to date with things, working in radio news and television news and all of that. Sure, but it is so confusing. I'm telling you, the homosexual agenda is just being pushed. About anything you want to see, from television programs to commercials, there they are. Two girls together, two guys together. What in the world is going on? And then the other night, caught a bit of Hawaii Five-O, and it just struck me. They were investigating this 15-year-old girl who is a homosexual lesbian, and mom and dad wanted to send her to a Christian camp somewhere out in Idaho or Colorado, and man, what a furor. The entire cast there, the Hawaii Five-O police team. Say, who do you think you are, mom and dad, telling this girl what she can and cannot be? Oh, I'm telling you, it is an absolutely sick society led by the left-leaning media. Let me ask you today, do you know where you stand? What are we talking about? Woodrow Wilson once said, "A nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it is trying to do." Who was America yesterday? Abraham Lincoln believed that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. That's Bible. In 1811, our Supreme Court stated, "Whatever strikes at the root of Christianity tends to destroy civil government." That same body later concluded, "Our laws and our institutions must necessarily be based on and include the teachings of the Redeemer." Now, when you think of all the nonsense going on today, let me pause here. Who is the author of confusion? As a Christian, you're being targeted. You are wrong. We've got to include the teachings of God. We've traveled a long way since then, and our past has been essentially forgotten, unfortunately. But it's no accident that we are where we are today. We do not merely drift to this place of moral confusion. You don't just kind of slip and fall into it. No, no. We have been led here by indifference, by those that hate God, by the cowardice of Christians in the face of evil today. In truth, until the dawn of the 20th century, America collectively believed that she was founded upon Christian principles. Sure we did. That's been stolen from us, or maybe we've just given it away. But the 1900s brought an onslaught against our faith that has shaken this country's foundation to the core to this very year. In 1920, John Dewey, the father of progressive education, declared, "There is no God and there is no soul. There's no absolute moral code existing today, and therefore man must adjust his ethical standards according to his own judgment." His words eerily echo those written earlier by people living in the darkest ages of Israel's history. Read Judges chapter 7. Hey, here, look at verse 6. "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man," we've arrived here again, "every man did what was right in his own eyes." Isn't that shocking? Back then, the year I was born, in 1947, Justice Hugo Black erroneously interpreted Thomas Jefferson's letter assuring the Danbury Baptist Association that government would not institute a state religion. And this kind of created a wall of separation between church and state that has purged Christianity from virtually all civil influence in the world today, and that's a big problem. Ignore God and His Word to your own demise. Isn't that correct, Christian? In 1962, the Supreme Court removed prayer and scripture from the public schools, stating that Bible reading in schools could cause psychological damage to the students. And next, the Ten Commandments were stripped from the public square. We've watched this debate go on for the last couple of decades and see it removed from here and there and everywhere. Without evidence to convict us of God's presence in our lives, it's very easy to ignore the commands of today. How ridiculous the world has become. In many instances, how ridiculous the church has become today. Abortion, pornography, homosexual marriage, everywhere you want to turn, my friend, God is being diminished without our consent. His very existence is being erased from our midst, trying to do away with God. America's greatest enemy does not lie outside of our borders. In the past, and even today, when I preach my media messages, that is the clue right there. It's not from without the enemy comes. It's from within. We are destroyed from within. Our complacency is destroying the United States of America. It is tempting when confronted by a formidable and determined foe, and there are many, to retreat from battle. I'm just tired of it. I'm going to quit. After all, what difference can one person make in the world today? For too long, God's people have not cared about our spiritual legacy. As Christians, we have a definite responsibility to reclaim our heritage and reestablish the foundations God ordained. We are commanded to be the salt and the light. Yep, He commands that for each one of us. How you doing? My friend, you know that freedom in Jesus Christ is a choice, and often we have old feelings of inadequacy and inferiority that we unwittingly carry over into our new relationship with God. He wants to cut us loose from the bondage created by a sense that we do not deserve any blessings today. However, we must choose freedom, just as we chose to receive Jesus Christ. We cannot drift. Like that word, we cannot drift into freedom any more than we can drift into salvation or drift into evil, as we just talked about. The choice to be liberated from satanic enslavement begins a process that changes our way of thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Make no mistake, embracing freedom will incur great pressure from Satan. Though he cannot steal our salvation, he certainly wants to ruin your witness by crystallizing any feelings of inadequacy in you. The first step after committing to freedom is abiding in the Scriptures. We meditate on God's Word to understand what He says and apply what we learn. That requires more than a quick reading and a busy schedule and a busy day. And secondly, we want to be confident of biblical truth, which clearly defines our position as a child of God. As that certainty fills your thoughts, your mind, your soul, Satan's lies there about your inferiority is going to shatter like a piece of glass. And finally, we can claim the truth that we have gleaned here. When we are confronted by situations that shake our confidence, we can rely upon new thought patterns based upon the Word of God. God declares that we reject thoughts of inferiority and replace them with the accurate self-image described in the Scripture. As His servant, as His ambassador, go for it. That's knowing the truth and choosing to live by it. You know, only God knows the depth of love that you have for Him. He said of King David, "He is a man after my own heart." Isn't that some declaration? Acts 13:22. Yet we know that David was a man of war. He lied. He had a man murdered. And on at least one occasion committed adultery. How could God love such a man? Have you ever thought about it? I have many times. Better yet, how could God allow this man to rule over a nation like Israel? The answer's wrapped up in just one word, and we need to hear it more. It's called grace. Not ordinary grace, but God's grace, which is something we cannot earn on our personal merits. And despite his failures, David had a passionate love for the Lord. He could not help but love the one who gave him life and offered forgiveness for his sin. Though he failed many times, the desire of his heart was to love and obey God. And it was this love that both propelled King David to greatness and allowed him to petition his heavenly Father when he was utterly undeserving. Great message, right? Jesus said, "The one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." John 6:37. You ought to do that this Friday. For all eternity, God's love and patience has been fixed on you. No matter what you are or where you have been, His love reaches out to you. If you accept Him as Savior today, realizing that His atoning death paid the full debt of all of your sin ever, you can be saved today. The passionate love of God will fill your heart, and you will receive the greatest gift of hope this world has ever known. Remember, my Christian friend, this is the day the Lord hath made, and we're to do what? Oh, do it this Monday. Rejoice and be glad in it. Tell others about Jesus and live for Him today. Thanks for listening to Hello World. I'm Greg Patton. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Until then, God bless. Enjoy your Monday.